Hello and welcome to Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. I'm one of your hosts, Stefan Stelter, and today we have a guest and we also have no Matt. This is one of the strangest Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt's ever. It's Cloud Chat with Stefan and Eduardo. Welcome back, Eduardo. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. I guess I'll step in for Matt on this one. I'm happy to be here. And yeah, you caught me a day in the office, so I don't have the good setup behind me or anything like that. So I have a blurred background, the whiteboard and whatnot, but we'll make it work, right?
Yes, and you're where the magic happens. You're in the den of awesomeness. I love it. Well, thanks for joining me. We've got some great announcements at NetApp, and you know I'm excited about them, and I'm really curious to get your take on them. And they're so new, you may not have heard much about them. So I'm happy to. What do you know?
I know we did this big announcement. Was it last week or the week before? This new C series, right? Which is our new capacity optimized flash models, right?
You've got it.
Yeah, so I know a little bit about it. I think there's like three of them, but maybe we'll talk about more about the details. I'm interested to kind of dive into it.
Yes. Yeah. So NetApp has been offering QLC based flash, this capacity flash, this tier of quad layer cell flash technology, which is intended to provide flash at a lower price point. And there's a write endurance trade-off that you have. So this is the interesting challenge that the industry faces. Like, how do we get flash into the hands of customers for less money? And flash offers all kinds of performance benefits. Obviously, it has some significant sustainability advantages as well, in terms of reduced footprint, reduced cost to power and cool, versus spinning drive. So all of that is wonderful goodness. How do we get that to more in the hands of more customers? Well, QLC is one of those approaches. So you got the right endurance trade-off. And again, NetApp hasn't just started QLC. We've been doing this for well over a year in the FAS 500F. But what we've done is we've introduced some more flexibility by creating this new line of all-flash FAS controllers, the AFF C-series systems. In the C250, which is the entry-level platform, the C400, and then the C800.
So we now went like full spectrum, right? We used to have the one FAS 500F, which is the one kind of like a introductory product, if you will. Now we have a whole family of C-series. And I'll say something. So you're right. In our environment, the data centers that we have here in NetApp IT and the storage that we use, we've been using AFF for years at this point, right? We tend to go on the higher side. So I've deployed a whole bunch of A700s, A800s. Now we're doing the A900s. But I think that from the get-go, right, these systems are not cheap, right? They're expensive. They're big, powerful systems. And there seems to be a gap between everything that they do and their cost compared to, the mechanical drive systems, or the 10K RPM or even the SATA. So I think this kind of fits in nicely, kind of in between those two to close that gap. And I think, I don't know, I guess I don't want to predict, but if I was buying new storage right now, I don't even know why I would, unless you have a very deep archiving need, I don't know why I would look at mechanical drives at this point, if it's just looking at C-series or the A-series.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think about it, there's some of the advantages and the trade-offs on the QLC side is that the drives available are in very large capacity points. This is by design from the manufacturers. There's no point to trying to create a 960 gig QLC drive. It's all about density and getting the dollars per terabyte down. And so when you look at those large capacity points, you start to think, well, this must be for archive use cases or for backup or for second tier workloads. And it starts to piece this together. Where does it actually fit? Becomes interesting.
I've been a big fan of big drives. I think these are all the 15 terabyte drives that they're shipping with right now.
Correct. That
right?
Yep. That's exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I've been deploying again in turn to NetApp. Right. We try to go with the biggest and baddest, right, to deploy in our own data center. So I've been deploying 15 terabyte drives for a while now, even 32 terabyte drives in some cases. They get pricey, but they get the job done, and we have been able to condense significantly the footprint in many other our racks and our data centers as we replace all the older systems. I think it's going to be more of that, more of the same.
Yeah, on the spinning side, it used to be that you'd go to a large form factor drive and you'd get the 8, 10, 16 terabyte kinds of capacity points. But boy, the density changes when you start looking at 15 terabyte drives that are 2.5 inch form factor drives. They're small. NVMe and some of the platforms.
We literally replaced, like, I had a picture. I should bring it up. Maybe we can flash it on the recording here. Yeah. But that we had a picture where we had a, I don't know, say like 8 racks of like spinning drives that we replaced with maybe 3/4 of a rack of AFF, right, in terms of density. Just because, we were using the 15 terabyte drives and really densifying, and, you know, has an effect on power, has an effect on space. And the great thing is, like, there's no trade-off in performance. In fact, it performed better, right? Because it's all OSSD, and the controllers are super powerful, and it also helped us. Well, we used to spend a lot of time thinking about aggregate construction and like okay, how am I going to expand the area of the new spinning drives without creating hotspots or whatnot?
Yes.
A lot of that, I mean, there's still some logic you need to put behind it, but we don't really think about it that much, right? We can create relatively small aggregates in terms of drives. We can be a little more liberal in which how we do it. And we really don't sacrifice any performance that.
It's interesting that you mentioned that on the aggregate creation side, because that is one of the interesting trade-offs. So I mentioned the QLC versus the TLC. So the AFF A series is all TLC based. Mm-hmm. And on those systems, we can add drives in two drive increments. We'll do a true two drive pack. When we look at the C series with the QLC drives, we do 4 drive increments. So you can't add in less than 4 drive increments. And it's precisely because of some of the wear implications that occur when you add just a drive or two to an aggregate. That's going to be a very busy drive in that aggregate until things level out again, right? So that introduces write endurance challenges and other fun. So we do sane and smart things, but we're still able to start at capacity points that are dramatically lower than most of our competitors in the QLC space. For example, on that C250, the entry-level system, we can start with as few as 8 15 terabyte drives. So you're in that 120 terabytes raw kind of capacity point, net of RAID and sparing. Now you're in that 60, 80 terabyte range of usable space. So a great platform. And you described one of my favorite NetApp on NetApp pictures, which is that, you know, that 8 rack visual going down to a rack, half a rack of all flash. And I think folks, when they looked at that, some people would say, hey, I don't have 8 racks, right? That's not my starting point. But maybe you have 1, maybe you have 2 racks. And now being able to take that down to 1 C250 mm-hmm. is quite a dramatic shift.
Yeah, so the drives density is one thing, but this device is like the 250, for example, is like a 2RU?
Yeah, it's 2 rack units.
It's like a small little device, and it has a ton of power, right? I think I read it, I was like, 24 cores, 128 gigs of RAM. I mean, those are specs from like a few years ago. So it would be like the top spec, right?
It is a fast box. And most customers, when we show them all flash in the A series line, historically, they'll say, you know what? I really want all flash, but the price premium, we don't need it. You know, our VMware workloads have been fine. Our SQL Server workloads have been fine on 10K mm-hmm. spindles, even, you know, enough 7,200 RPM spindles. I really don't need all flash A series sub millisecond latencies. So I'm excited for that entry level customer who can now take advantage of flash with really no trade-offs. You don't have to do as thorough a TCO analysis to justify the increased cost. It's really close with efficiencies and everything else that we deliver in those platforms.
Yeah, no, so in you know, all those are true. I said, there are even our first foray into the A series where we had it was more expensive because, you know, the price of the drives have gone down over time. But even there, doing the TCO, it still made sense when we were deploying it, just because, again, the density that we were to condense to, the elimination of performance issues. Really, I mean, of course, there's things that can still happen, but I cannot remember the last time. I don't think if we ever had a situation where now we have a disk bottleneck problem, right? because those drives are like, you know, less than 10% utilized, right? In terms of performance capacities, and really what he's delivering is like sub-millisecond response time. With this new suite of things, and I haven't deployed any myself yet, I imagine, like, okay, well, maybe we don't get sub-millisecond, maybe we get a millisecond. They're still pretty darn fast, right?
Yeah, that's what we're looking at, 1 to 2 milliseconds. I remember we were doing 15K and 10K drives. Mm-hmm. If you could get to sub 10 milliseconds, it was a big deal, right?
We consider anything at one point in the past, this is like many years before it even was a meta, we will consider under 20 milliseconds acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, Oracle gets grumpy at 20 milliseconds.
That's so right.
Keep exactly Oracle right. happy. That was, I remember that. It's not that long ago. At least that's what I tell myself.
Well, and the other thing I see with this, right? And again, I've seen it on the other platforms, but I see now this has kind of become the standard, the new normal, right? All these machines, right? The 250, the 400, 800s, right? Not only do they have tons of cores and memories, but the connections, right? Everything now is at least 10 gig. Copper, right? Connections behind them. Yep. They have 100 gig Ethernet, 25 gig. They're just really ready to kind of push that throughput from the client to the storage. Again, it's maybe not so surprising because I think this is kind of the standard nowadays. But the least performing one is like a 10 gig over copper, and that didn't used to be the case, right?
Yeah, it's remarkable. The C250 has onboard 10 gig base T, and then it gives you the ability to add in host interface cards that can give you 32 gig fiber channel or can give you the 25 gig Ethernet that you might want. And then for shelf expansion, it does 100 gig Ethernet. So these are the NS224 shelves that are supported throughout the C-Series product line. They're all NS224s. With the QLC drives.
I don't know this. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw you through a curveball here because I haven't looked at it, but I know the NS224, when I was buying some of them, are all the drives now self-encrypted drives as well that come with these? Or does
that's a great question. I'm going to have to look that up. I have a feeling that they are. There's a drive capability, or maybe with NVE, it's not. I don't know if the QLCs are all SCD drives or not. That's a great question.
Okay, maybe the QLC is different. I think on the A series, the things that come with the 2 to 4, I think you can buy them non-self-encrypted, but by default, they're becoming self-encrypting. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to double check on that. Yeah, but you rightly point out, like a C400 has a lot more host connectivity options. So there are a lot more options for adding mezzanine cards and doing 100 gig Ethernet to hosts and other fun things that you can do.
Yeah,
400 or in the C800. So the C250 and the C800, so the small one and the big one, have internal drives. There's 48 internal drives in the C800. And 24 internal drives in the C250. The C400 does require external shelves, so it's
okay. But those machines, the internal drives, again, talk about density. You don't even need to cable right. shelves, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable. Hey, so was there something else? I thought there was also aside from the new lineup, right? Were there new? Is it like a new offering from that from ONTAP?
Software
bundling.
Kind of sticking with the C series lineup, we're offering something called ONTAP One, which is the all inclusive software bundle for ONTAP. So for the first time, that is now available and part of it's the default approach to the C series configuration.
Now it comes with all the protocols, all the stuff out of the box.
Yes. And it's more than all the protocols. So for those uninitiated in NetApp fun, it's all the protocols, all of the replication capabilities. So SnapMirror Synchronous. It's the ability to create metro clusters. It's the ability to
even metro cluster included.
Yeah. Okay. Metro cluster on-box anti-ransomware detection is built in. So the system will look for differences in behavior. It's really cool, really smart AI-driven intelligence on the box where there's a period of time where you observe the way that volumes are being accessed. The system observes them. And then once you say, you've now observed enough normal behavior to understand what normal looks like, then the system will automatically look for anomalous behavior, things that are outside of what it's seen, or it'll look for increases in entropy, things where data is reading a lot more than it should, like looks like exfiltration, or things are getting encrypted more often than they normally would. That sounds like there's some sort of malware occurring.
What I think is super cool about that, though, is that we have now an ability to kind of bundle it all together and reduce the time to sell, right? Like to I don't have to make a choice as a
customer.
Exactly.
The customer doesn't have, there's no trade-offs to worry about.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, all the Snap Center integration is in there too. Like the list of things that are in there just kind of keeps going. So mm-hmm. the ability to do application consistent snapshots with a variety of, we support all of the major databases that you would want. So it tremendous capabilities there to make sure that you're leveraging NetApp snapshots as well as SnapLock. So you talk about ways to protect.
Right. So we've done a lot of SnapLock and stuff, and it's fantastic for doing, well, I'll say we actually use SnapLock to do multiple things. One of them is we kind of have a tertiary copy of some critical data that we kind of lock down with SnapLock compliance. But we also use SnapLock to do our long-term retention of our SOX backups. Right. So we kind of lock them down so they're just, you know, that's nobody can fudge with them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Multi-admin verify is in there. So the ability to have, like, you need more than one admin to perform certain actions in the environment. Mm-hmm. All of these things are part of ONTAP mm-hmm. One, and a great capability that's offered for that C-Series platform. And then we also, so aside from C-Series, that's C-Series and ONTAP One. Aside from those announcements, we also announced a new entry-level all-flash AFF A-Series model. So there's an entry-level.
Okay. I didn't catch that. Yep. So what is that one called?
Yeah, the A150 is a great system. It provides, it's that starting point for flash. Maybe you don't have an 80 terabyte problem. You have something more like a 20 terabyte problem, mm-hmm. and you hope to get to 80 someday. That's exactly what the A150 will do. So sub-millisecond latencies, 24 internal drives, but the ability to expand, and
it must be the same 2RU form factor.
Right? It's very similar. Yeah, we like that 2U. It's not based on the NS224 shelf, so these are traditional SSDs mm-hmm. And not NVMe drives. But A150 is it's a powerhouse, a great little system.
Man, I think that again, to me, the new normal has been all flash for a while, but now it's like for real, right?
Yeah.
that's really what we have on the table. I mean, I know that I still deploy, I'll say, some nearline SAS for deep archiving and some data sets that really require no performance, just like store gobbles of petabytes of data. But that's really one use case. Everything else is all flash. And I think with this new series, it's almost like, it's almost a no-brainer, right? Especially with the ONTAP One, right? Like all the protocols are in there, everything's kind of ready to go. You don't even have to think about it.
Yeah, it's beautifully done. And then we're providing a new capability called NetApp Advance, which is available for customers to pick up on AFF systems and that family in its entirety.
So I'm not familiar with it. What is NetApp Advance?
Yeah, so the storage lifecycle program is a part of NetApp Advance, and this helps customers and every 3 years they can get an upgrade to their controller. So that's awesome. It helps customers.
We had a different program before. It had a different name, but we did some of this before as well. Some of those.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we've taken it to a whole nother level. Now we can also help customers upgrade their media. So mm-hmm. we provide a mechanism where customers can get their media traded in. So let's say they buy 7.62 terabyte drives today or 15 terabyte drives today. Mm-hmm. In 3 years, they want to go up to 30 terabyte drives. They want to increase their capacity capability, but reduce the footprint. We'll offer a trade-in on the drives that they own. So there's some guardrails around that. It's not one for one, but there's a great capability for customers to leverage that program to give mm-hmm. themselves some additional benefit out of their environment. And also, let's imagine you go and leverage the storage lifecycle program, and at the end of 3 years, it turns out you're not really interested in new controllers. You're really thinking more about the cloud and how you want to migrate some things to the cloud. There's an ability to transfer some of those capabilities into the cloud rather than getting the controllers. So just a whole new level of flexibility there.
That's really interesting. Yeah. So I mean, all this is about all this new on-premises solutions right now, which we I have some in the data center, but we've been doing a lot of the cloud, right? We've been doing a lot of FSx on top, CVO and whatnot. So it's nice to hear that we're incorporating that into this new release as well, into that program to help people, put storage in the cloud or back on premises.
Yeah, absolutely. It really helps, I think, highlight the things that NetApp does uniquely in this space, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just tiering to the cloud. It's not just having ultra high performance on-premises capabilities, but it's really helping customers move workloads, adopt workloads where they want to adopt them in the place that's most mm-hmm. efficient for them, and leverage the benefits that NetApp can offer. So it's a really, really cool conversations that we get to start having with customers around what they, I think what they typically think of us as, you know, a storage company. So nice to see some refreshes in this area and some new launches in this area. And these are opportunities for NetApp partners and for NetApp customers to take advantage of on-premises awesomeness, as well as the cool things that we do in the cloud, and thinking about Cloud Data Sense and Cloud Insights and the other pieces under the Blue XP umbrella.
Right. Now, like, all ties in together. But this is super exciting. In fact, as we were talking here, I looked at the AFFC 800. Like, do you know it has like over a terabyte of memory? This is, to me, that's crazy.
It's a monster.
Like that is 1,280 gigs of memory. That's insane, right? And this is now that this is the mid level. series. Yep. It's pretty impressive. I think it's a good portfolio.
I'm thrilled. I'm excited about it. So it's a lot of fun to talk about it. I'm a hardware nerd, so I really appreciate the nuance of the engineering. And actually, so you know, not least of which, we do have new bezels. There's the new bezel.
Design
for the C series. We're refreshing the bezels across the
product. Yeah, do some branding, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Got some good stuff in there. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of other little pieces to NetApp Advance with AI analytics, and we help customers do upgrades to the software on their system. That stuff's included. So some really, really nice pieces that are available for customers to take advantage of, and they can leverage NetApp assistance for updates to the code that's running on their controllers as well.
So still a question. I don't know if you know the answer. Is this I know we announced it. Is it already available, or is it coming up? Like when can it be ordered?
Right. Great question. So we'll see them in our quoting tool on the 27th of March, and they should be shipping shortly thereafter. So we're expecting the systems to be out and available in the early April timeframe, just on trucks and going out to customers.
So. All right. So just ready for spring, I guess.
Indeed. That's right. Very good. Hey, Eduardo, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for the chat. I really enjoyed the conversation as usual. I'm hoping to hear about how QLC drives can maybe change the game and maybe some other areas of NetApp. It seems like we've done such a large conversion to all-flash already.
I think that the next layer for that is to use mass deep capacity solutions, right? All the stuff that I perhaps use Nearline SAS and whatnot. If you've seen, and we didn't talk about this, but you see the growth in density of the SSDs is far outspacing the growth in density on the mechanical drive. So I think that this may be the beginning of replacing even that capacity tier with flash all over the place.
Yeah, it really feels like it. I think we've prognosticated the death of tape forever, but maybe this isn't that, but it might be the death of 10K drives. I don't know. It really feels like it fills a need. These QLC drives definitely fill a need for getting that awesome efficiency from flash at a much more cost-effective price.
Yeah. But anyway, so thanks for having us. This has been a great conversation. I'm excited to see this new portfolio. Maybe I can buy some, put it in the data center.
Awesome. Let's get it done. Call your data partner.
That's me.
Thanks, Eduardo. Appreciate the time.
All right.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us for this episode of Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. Feel free to like, comment. We would love to see the comments. Subscribe, alert, all of the fun things that you would do with a podcast. We appreciate your time and attention. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again, Eduardo.
Bye. Thank you.